Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Yeah, so it smells like a unicorn queef in here.
Yeah. Does it? I don't know if that's... No,
is it a waffle candle?
Yeah, I was going to say.
An apple pie candle.
Apple pie. You really think apple pie smells like a unicorn queef?
Well, you also add the vanilla candle, so it's just like... It just like mixes together.
Well, he's an Alamode guy, obviously.
Thank you, Taryn.
Yeah.
Now, is there... Like, if you were to lay out... Are you a candle guy, first of all?
No. No, not at all.
First rule of improv, Taryn. Yes, and.
No, I feel like that's actually a really decent answer because my ex-girlfriend's friend
yes,
called
and
me.
The reality. And my reality is I'm not into candles. So that's how I am positively responding to the truth of my character choice is that I'm absolutely not. And by the way, it'd be great if people could see the candles. I'm assuming we're starting anyway just because I hear my voice in my ears.
Yeah.
They're jar candles. Like, not even just, like, they have a little glass on them. They're, like, giant jar
candles. Dude, I don't fucking hold back. I don't just buy the little Glade $2.99. I was like, you know what? I want this to last until 2020.
Manly compensation just in, like, you know, if I have to hold it with two hands,
dude,
it can't be a girly.
Yeah.
It's not a girly candle if I have to hold it with two hands.
So, somebody might want to help me on my way out of Rite Aid.
Yeah.
Some people
won't
on those,
need it 'cause I'm a man.
Some people on that Doomsday Prepper show get like you know frozen dinners and guns and stuff like that.
Right.
Adam's like, no, if the apocalypse happens, I'm gonna smell delightful.
A 1950s style bunker is under this apartment building, just stock full of jar candles. Of all of your favorite different foods from Thanksgiving. So this is like the dessert portion.
You might have a new character.
Yeah. Jar Candle Man.
Jar Candle Man. Or the dude that's just like super manly but loves candles.
Loves candles.
Yeah.
And my ex-girlfriend's friend, actually, and that's what's funny that you responded that way because she was like, I got her a can, like some sort of candle when they moved into a new apartment. She goes, you got me a candle? She goes, what are you, gay? And I go,
like
it's not like it's not like vanilla fucking cock. Like it's just, sure. She was like, right. She's like, well, she's like, if they probably had that, you probably would have got it. I was like, okay, this is why I don't come over here a lot.
Right. Because I hate you, and I'm taking back my candy.
And I did.
And now my apartment smells like boysenberry, and yours doesn't.
Yeah,
so
so
who's winning? Yeah. Who's winning in this game?
No, candles are great. I mean, there's in my world, there's two variations on candles, and it's like college-age guy trying to get laid.
Totally.
Right.
Or fancy dinner, you know what I mean? And I'm not, I'm not at that. I'm out of the college phase.
You're heading towards the fancy dinner.
Light a bunch of tea candles and play Dave Matthews Crash phase.
Oh my god, did you do that?
Which you're phasing out, of course.
Oh dude,
because
I
like sex.
So that's why you play.
That
Dave
is the
Matthews.
Undeniable formula for having sex.
It really is.
Tea candles, like over five to ten tea candles.
Sure.
Dave Matthews Crash.
Now, and now I think like you can slowly move in Mumford and Sons into that,
exactly.
That category. Anything with a really small guitar / banjo.
Totally.
You're there.
Duality of strings.
Yeah, I think Adam Carolla has this thing where he says, you know, really small guitar and really big guitar, no pussy. But regular size guitar, tons of pussy. Some sort of mid guitar balance thing.
If he had a doctor's office, that's the poster that would be.
That voice you are hearing, by the way, is our guest on the About Last Night podcast, Mr. Taryn Killam.
Taryn Killam is here.
Let me just
first of all, I knew you that you've had worked a lot before. We met on the Heat.
Yes.
The Heat, which made over $200 million.
Is it there already?
Box office. $200 million, dude.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that crazy?
That's amazing.
Did Big Fat Liar make that much money?
Heck no.
You were in Big Fat Liar.
I don't think so.
With Frankie Muniz or Muniz?
Muniz.
I always fucked this up.
That's all right.
We talked about him on another podcast, and somebody was correcting me. They're like, it's
Muniz.
Well, he does have his diehard fans. They're just right. Fuck
he
you.
He played it in basketball.
I'm leading the charge.
Do you own the domain don'tfuckupmuniz.com?
Yeah. Respect the Muniz.
Respect the Muniz.
.edu, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
Or.com was snatched up.
Yeah. But we didn't get any scenes in the movie, which is bullshit.
Together.
Yeah,
no, but fortunately
we got to meet.
Production
though.
Was overlapped, where we shot.
Now, how often have you called the director Paul Feig and said, "Why the fuck wasn't I with Adam Ray in any scenes?" Like,
he was actually my only writer, so it was like frustrating.
You wanted two sugar-free Red Bulls.
I didn't even know they'd cast you in the movie, so I'm probably responsible for your success.
Thank you very much. Well, then I feel bad I didn't get
no,
more
candles.
No,
you were great. You were great. You were very intimidating. I only met you off camera.
Right,
such a nice, a very warm, welcoming, jar candle-loving kind of man.
You had no idea my love for jar candles at that point.
At that point. Yeah. But I could sense it. I could smell it on your clothes.
Oh, Jesus.
I had just walked out of a fucking Yankee Doodle candy company.
Right. And your eyes red just like, from tearing up.
Yeah, your average man shouldn't smell like green tea mint, right. But the fact that Adam does, I think I'm going to take him for a candle guy.
He's a candle guy.
You know what's funny, but we actually, I mean, we didn't meet this way, but I used to live at La Brea and Melrose for 8 years after I graduated from SC, right next to Pink's.
You're a Trojan.
I am a Trojan.
Oh, I'm a Bruin.
Are you really?
Oh,
Brad's a Trojan, too.
I'm a Trojan, too, so, all right.
Is that how you know?
This has been a great podcast.
Yeah. Darren, kill him, everyone.
No.
Yeah, I mean.
No, you're out of here. Yeah.
Wait, so many things to promote.
Can you imagine? Some people do hold that rivalry to that extent where they're like, I've met people where I'm like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, where'd you go to college? Like a dad of a friend. It's usually the dads.
Yeah.
Kids at our age don't give a shit. They're like, they do what we just did. They go, this podcast is over. Yeah. Fucking get out of here. But I've met a friend's dad once who was like, you're Trojan, huh? He goes, you guys are fucking assholes. And then he just went into this fucking rant about how awful USC is, how awful I am just for being associated with the school.
Yeah. I have a conflicted relate. I had my band teacher in middle school was a UCLA guy.
What'd you play?
I started in alto sax in the alto sax department, and then I was like, this just isn't for me, and moved over to the singular snare drum section.
Oh, wow. So basically, when were you not getting laid in high school? That's my question.
I quickly had to discover Keith Campbell and Dave Matthews.
I played the clarinet for about 4 years.
Oh, did you? Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and my mom wanted me to transition to the sax so badly.
Yeah.
Because I think she just she must have had some deep passion for Kenny G. Well, no, Kenny G played the oboe. No, he played the alto sax.
I'm sure he's got a good handle on the woodwinds.
A good handle on the woodwinds.
Do you think so?
That's actually how he describes it to people too.
Yeah,
they're like,
hey
man, so do you play just the sax? He goes, I got a good handle on all the woodwinds, man. You don't need to worry about that. But band, I mean, that's okay. So you did that at UCLA.
He was a UCLA guy, and he's the one that like introduced me to "You Can't Spell Suck Without USC" and all that stuff.
Whoa.
He was big.
Oh, all those T-shirts that get like made UCLA. Yeah, we have that, and we have the one that has the dollar sign through the S, and then the cent sign through the C. And UCLA, it says you get what you pay for.
Amazing.
All those shirts.
Yeah, by the time I was getting ready for college, I applied to both, and I thought I'm assuming you guys maybe had something to do with theater arts or some kind of.
Yeah, I was in the acting school there. Brad was in the.
So that's why we don't care
about
the rivalry.
Yeah. I mean, they have a really great candy making
with
thing
a doctorate
there.
In caramelizing.
I do. That's fuck. It's like you're reading my mind there.
Now
Tara.
I forget. Did you have to wear the Oompa Loompa costume or did they?
I did it for extra credit.
Yeah, extra credit. Brad goes like the extra mile. He's like that type of guy.
I love that. Well, that's why I wish I'd gone to USC because they had extra credit in college.
We did.
An elementary school thing.
I mean, pretty much when a midget shows up to candy making, the teacher just goes, we have a ringer.
He's like, what am I going to teach
perfect.
You?
Yeah.
Wait, so were you in film school?
I got in for musical theater, actually.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, USC didn't have a program for musical theater, but I thought my audition went much better, so I assumed I was going to go to USC. But I got into UCLA.
You know, that's all I did was musicals up until I got to USC.
And then I did
one freshman year. So let's just start. I quit football to play Danny Zuko in Grease my sophomore year of high school.
Oh, man.
And
how was that?
I wrote my college essay on it. And it was after I did that, I was like, all right, I think I want to do this because it was so fun.
Yeah.
And then I knew I didn't want to play football. My coach, I remember I walked into his office and I tried to make a joke out of it because the offensive lineman above me, who was a senior, got injured. So I was going to start varsity and all this stuff.
Wow.
But to me, I was just like, I'm just playing. It's fun with my friends. I'm not going to play football.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm Jewish and not going to go pro.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can come from the long line of like the Hebrew Hammer Heisenberg.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'm sure he was in the NFL, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Clearly a long line.
Yeah.
By that one name.
By the one reference.
Establishes the long line.
Yeah, sure.
And so I walked into his office and I tried to make a joke. I was like, Coach, I'm not going to be able to memorize the playbook this year because I got to memorize the lyrics to Grease Lightning. And he just goes, get the fuck out of here. And I go, cool, man. Great talk. And that was that. Funny.
You and I had opposite ends of the same problem.
Okay.
Where I turned down auditioning for the school musical because that was sort of like a gimme.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to play baseball so badly.
Awesome.
And I was so small and weak that I could not make the cutoff man in a single throw.
Oh, shit.
Even though
you had to, like, wait. So the cutoff man is designed so if you're not strong enough to make it to the base, there's a cutoff guy to help you out. You cannot make the cutoff guy.
Do you see?
Wow.
Do you see the problem?
So did you have to, like, have the other
fielder
come over? Your dad came out of your stands?
No, I was going to say, like, is your dad in a doomsday bunker somewhere? Right, just like, my son couldn't make the cutoff, man.
Sure,
he's on Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, and he co-starred with Amanda Bynes once on one of the shows. But, fuck!
Yeah. I had to, like, go back with my tail between my legs to the theater production and be like, can you put me in something small?
Oh, shit.
Because the coach was like, listen, I was a good hitter. I was a very good hitter.
Right.
But just I think I was like 98 pounds and 4'11" something. I was so small freshman year.
Yeah, 4'11". Yeah.
So teeny.
Fucking tiny ass.
You know, like,
you asshole.
Like, ridiculously small.
Yeah, you really,
like,
can't do much at that
short.
Height. Yeah. Like, it's so funny. Actually, you should start.
So limiting.
Yeah. Fuck you, Taryn.
What can you do?
4'11" this.
Wait.
It's so much to promote.
So much to promote. No.
Yeah, what can you do at that height other than make candy and do podcasts? Right. I mean, it's like, really.
Do you realize how many dicks I would suck to be 4'11"?
Wow. Can we get that on tape real quick?
I think we do.
Wait, we did.
Yeah.
That's all the wires say we did.
Say we did.
God damn it.
I got a good handle on the woodwork.
That happens, like, to me so many times when people were just like, oh my God, I couldn't date this guy. He was like 5'1". I'm not dating anyone that short. Okay, I'm going to be over here with a gun in my mouth while you just keep talking. Click, click.
Click.
Now, would it be
and
like
then suddenly Game of Thrones started playing. You're like, holy shit. Wait a minute. We can be the most powerful person in Westeros?
Yeah.
Thank you, Dinklage, for giving us hope.
Wow. He really is. He really is kind of like the...
he's the man.
Now, he is the Martin Luther King of dwarves.
Yeah. I was just going to say, what is he? And I could not have come up with a better fucking...
I'm pretty sure he's the Martin Luther King of dwarves.
Yeah.
He will be giving a speech out there in D.C.
Anniversary is next week.
Yeah, the anniversary of the Martin Luther King speech.
What would his speech be for little people?
Ladies and gentlemen, if someone could please lower this fucking podium.
And the good thing is, if there's an assassination attempt, the bullet will go right over his head.
You're not getting that guy.
He's good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's Dinklage. So good on that show.
I know.
He's so good in everything.
Is that one of
he's so good in Elf. He's so good in the Station Agent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I love that guy.
Yeah, let's
what have you done, bro?
Yeah, let's just suck another dwarf's dick for the next hour of this podcast while I'm just hanging back going... I was in this movie on Showtime called Hollywood Sex Wars. I played a guy named Anch who was...
Do they allow you to promote that still?
Yeah. He was essentially a sex slave to like 8 different women with breast implants living in one house. Yeah.
Brad, you were not in Snow White though, so that's a credit.
Yeah, fuck that!
Yeah. Not in Snow White.
Fuck Snow White the Huntsman!
CGI
Which
dwarfs.
One? Right, the CGI. Yeah. Well, but then they had, what, Mirror Mirror?
Yeah, Mirror Mirror. That's when I fired my agent because he didn't even get me the audition. I'm like, what else do you need? It's a Snow White movie calling for dwarves, and you looked at me and went, you know what? I think we're pass on this one. Then, fuck you! No!
Yeah.
That's like, my calling!
I would like to say, just between Hollywood Sex Wars and Mirror Mirror, those are two less things I have to promote. Those are my big two.
You so came you in here with a fucking checklist.
If you want to kick me out, I'll feel good about
it. We might be done here. As Kenny G says, we got a good handle on the woodwinds
exactly.
Right now. You know what? That's like not putting like Don DeLuise and John Candy in a movie called Donut Factory.
Right.
Like, I feel like they worked there. Yeah.
I know.
By the way, rest in peace.
No, absolutely. Let's keep this podcast high with the rest in peace.
That's
John
it. We've had a lot of fun here today. We're going to go out on that note, actually. Yo, all right. So UCLA, at what point so you transit musical theater gets you the acting bug and right into
your... Yeah, I mean, like, I was kid actor without the weird parents. So I had like big windows, but my first audition was when I was 5, I think, for for commercials and stuff, and then left, and there were big windows of just kind of being a normal kid.
Well, do you remember any of those auditions?
Yeah, the very first one was great. It was for Burger King.
Because kid commercial actors are maybe the funniest kids on the planet.
Oh, my God. And I got the pro. I got partnered. It was like a partner audition. I got partnered with a pro. I'm a five-year-old little boy.
Please reenact this commercial for me.
Okay,
right now.
So it was one where they're just kind of interviewing. They're just trying to get a vibe on your personality.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm partnered with probably like...
So you didn't have to fake eat fries.
An 8 or 9 year old blonde girl.
Great.
Who's just seasoned.
Just super hot.
Oh, okay. Just so choice. Just so just smooth
really
and
just
flat.
Just love Dave
the
Matthews.
The way five-year-old
smooth
boys really want their women. They judge by like silkiness of hair, I think, you know.
Yeah, how many stickers you have on your lunchbox?
Yeah, and so like they're asking us questions like Megan, Taryn, do you guys like Burger King? And she's like, oh, I love Burger King. It's my favorite place to eat. Whenever my parents say we can go out, I always choose Burger King. It's my favorite. You know,
she's
like so impressed. I'm like, this is perfect for you.
You're like,
you get it.
You guys should totally cast her.
And they go to me, and I'm like, yeah, I like it.
It's like, that's cool. It's just okay. It's no McDonald's.
Exactly.
Every now and then I get a crown. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I think I knew enough to be like, yeah, I like the kids meals.
Sure.
It wasn't a Happy Meal. It was a kids meals.
Yeah, sure.
And I was like, and I like the chicken tenders.
If you're specific, they know that you actually go there, right?
Exactly. They're tracking. So and then they say, what is your favorite food? And she's like, oh, the Whopper is definitely, but the Whopper, you know, because I think the commercial is for the Whopper.
You're like, I need my dog Whopper.
She's like, I love Whopper. Yeah, exactly. A Whopper and tattoo on my belly. A Whopper. And she was amazing. And they turned to me and they're like, what about you, Taryn? Do you like the Whopper? And I said, I don't eat red meat. And that was
God.
The end of my first professional
Get
audition.
Out.
Get out. Like,
so many things to promote.
His voice is getting higher as we kick him out.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a fucking great story.
Yeah,
all right. Their kids, I don't do a lot of commercial auditions anymore because it just, you know, as you.
It's the most demeaning. Brutal.
You know, trying to have my feet in every, like, with voiceover and stand up and acting. And then commercial auditions was one more thing that it was like. As I was going out, I was like seeing the, like any audition process, a small group of people that were getting a lot of these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like anything, even like with voiceover, it would take me a lot of time to get on the short list for a lot of these casting people.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing it as consistently enough with commercials. And then stand up, like we travel Thursday to Sunday. A lot of the callbacks were on Friday.
Right.
I couldn't give up a whole weekend for a callback.
And for those of you who've never been on a commercial audition, like it's not, it's not Shakespeare.
Right.
You go in there and they say, you wait for 2 hours and then they finally call you in and they say I like the burger. You go I like the burger. Thank you. And then you leave.
That's it.
That
is exactly
the audition.
And this whole biz is a gamble of sorts, right? You're trying to hedge your bet, and it's and to me it just became about a ratio of work output to success, and it was just so not in my favor.
Yeah, I mean,
the only funny part I love about commercial auditions is they usually take place in like a building that has 6 commercial auditions going on at the same time.
Different rooms,
and you look around and you can see what the casting agent called for just by the 5 people. Like,
it's true.
They wanted a football player, they wanted a cougar, and all the dwarves are over here. Right, this is like it's like the orgy scene in Zoolander.
Yeah,
like, like, all right, mountain climbers over there, midgets over there.
we got all
that going on.
As performers, like any control we try to seize from judgment that we faced growing up, you know what I mean. Which kind of forced us into this industry is completely abandoned in commercials.
Yeah.
Cuz it's like you have no control.
It's straight look.
You're just showing up just to be judged as severely as possible.
And even as much as like I went in for this was one of my last auditions, an Olive Garden commercial audition, right?
Okay.
So first of all, I come in hungover. I think gotten off the road from a weekend of shows and the night before I just continued.
By the way, most people go to the Olive Garden hungover cuz you know
breadsticks.
Yeah, breadsticks.
Bottomless breadsticks. Never-ending pasta. Which by the way, why are we the fattest country? Because you can eat pasta for $8 forever. So I go to this audition wearing a sport coat and a Reading Rainbow t-shirt, Taryn. Obviously what a lot of people wear when they dress up for a night out.
No, there's nostalgia, you're saying. You're like a broad,
right,
handsome,
yeah,
jar candle man, and you got to show your sensitive side.
Thank you. So I got a lot of scruff going on, the long hair. I looked as close as I did to maybe in the heat. So first of all, I just a dirty-looking dude with a sport coat and a child's t-shirt.
Right.
And I'm sitting down. Everyone else is wearing like nice button-ups, as they told you to wear in the breakdown, which I didn't fucking read.
Who needs it?
Yeah. So I go in there. The guy's like, all right, so improvise a little bit before the scene. You know, the Olive Garden is real. It's real people. It's real food. I mean, he couldn't have been more stereotypical for this scenario. He's like, yeah, real people, real food, real conversations. He's like, so just do what you do. And like, it's like, just start off and then we'll go into the scene. And you'll read the lines. Carrie, you're going to be playing the girl, so you'll read the lines. But you guys are having fun. It's a fun night out with friends. Oh, and I'm like, cool, man. So it starts off, and I'm just so hungover. And it starts, and I take it upon myself to speak up. And he goes, okay, and action. I go, man, has anybody seen Jurassic Park 3 recently? And one dude just looks at me and he goes, what? And I go, yeah, man. I go, one of my buddies said he got it on Blu-ray, but I was like, fuck that. And the guy just goes, cut. And he goes, okay, I don't know what that was, but maybe something about the food at the table, how you're excited to be there. I was like, cool, no problem. Literally, I'm like out of my body at this point.
Although at this point, like the way that you kind of like have built up this story, I'm like, I'm going to hate this casting director. And it's like, oh, no, he's very good at his job.
What the fuck was that? Yeah, exactly. And then at one point I said, I sure hope these breadsticks get here. On the second time I go, I sure hope these breadsticks get here soon because I'm gonna puke. And I thought that was joking. In my head, one step forward,
two steps back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. And then he said, cut again. And then he goes, okay, so Brian, I want you to take the first line on this one and you'll be the one to get us into the scene. And I didn't say anything after that. And I got up and I apologized to him a lot. And he was just like, he goes, what was all that? He goes, are you like out of it? I was like, yeah, man, to be honest, I should have come in. Like, I'm usually not hungover, but I, you know, I thought this was tomorrow. And he was like, yeah, well, it's today. And I was like, Jesus. I mean, yeah, man,
exactly what a casting director wants to hear.
That's the world of commercials.
Yeah. snap judgment.
What?
They have the audacity to send you a printout with detailed notes
of what to wear,
when, how to show up. And they expect you to just perform like some kind of monkey.
There's not even real breadsticks there. I'm just supposed to imagine.
How are you supposed to get motivated?
What are we in fucking Hook?
Real
no.
Breadsticks.
All right. Yeah.
You're doing it, Adam.
If he had said that to me, then maybe we'd still be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
So at what point at UCLA are you like, when you graduated, did you then straighten to Groundlings?
That's nice of you to think that I graduated.
Oh,
no!
All right,
I Brad didn't graduate.
Two dropouts.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sweet. Really? You too? Yeah. I only made it a year.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
wow.
And then I lasted a year, and then that summer I booked Mad TV.
At 19,
well,
by the way.
19, so you obviously needed college, right? And well, and that's, and not to put this back on me, we'll go right back on you in a
sure,
second.
No.
But
we just did like a 12-minute story about
sure.
Adam's, you know.
Yeah, so obviously we talked
about. I think
about
we're about done, by the way. Yeah. I think we're about good.
So anything?
Yeah.
Fewer things.
Yeah, honey. What is
Hollywood
it?
Sex Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Why did I think it was like Honey Bear Sex Stories?
Because that's you what don't I listen. And that's what I'm here for: is to mend the communication between the
Thank
two of
you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Really.
But I mean, when I started doing stand up, I still had a year to go before I graduated. I'm like, but you go to college to figure out what you want to do. I figure out what did I want to do. Yeah. Done. That's all I need. And I guess. Sort of similar to something happened to
you? Yeah, absolutely. I loved you. I truly loved UCLA, and the best friends that I have still are the ones that I made that first year of college. But it's just that thing where I came up against it a little bit in high school, where if you're in an institution for education and you're working professionally, for whatever reason, they're just not willing to work with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're like, well, if you're doing it, then go do it.
Yeah.
So I tried to defer for 6 months, and then I kept working, so I didn't have to go back.
Like, to get Mad TV at 19, like, first of all, you can't even drink at the after parties.
Right, right.
And, like, when you walked in there, was just the intimidation factor?
Because,
you're this 19-year-old kid.
Overwhelming, yeah. No, so overwhelming. And had, at that point, had not done any Groundlings classes, had not taken – I took, like, stand-up course in high school.
Wow.
You know, like I
so you just had a
training.
Performing background from theater.
Performing, yeah. and I was a funny guy-ish and could do impressions. Impressions was a big, big get.
And who were you doing back then?
Anybody on the WB. You know, the WB lineup, the Vanderbeeks.
Wow.
The Josh Jacksons.
Yeah.
Chris Klein.
Wait, wow. So you do a Vanderbeek and a Josh Jackson?
You got to. You got
that's funny
the
because
duality
I
of,
do
of
I do a Katie Holmes
and Michelle Williams
and a Michelle Williams. Yeah,
yeah. There
I don't
you
know,
go.
Brad. Do you have any music? Maybe we can reenact a little high school scene.
Hey, Joey. Where were you last night? I was working on the outline of my film, and I had no one to bounce it off of.
God, you're always just really just polluting my brain.
If that's true, then why did I see you with Pacey?
Listen, Dawson. I was a joke last night, and we had to do what we had to do. A friend is a person, they never find a thing, and you can't ever find even a little bit.
And it was only 10 o'clock.
Now, that was both your Katie Holmes and Michelle Williams. The first line
sorry,
is Katie
I didn't
Holmes.
Know if, yeah. I don't
the
know
if, second was Michelle
I didn't know
Williams.
If you're going to be able to see through that. Yeah. All right. That's good.
I could.
That's good. Oh, well, okay, so then, so you brought, okay, so you, they love the impressions because yeah, obviously yeah. It's the sketch show that pride itself.
Like a young kid who can do a bunch of, you know, the teen Tiger Beat
right.
type guys. Yeah, yeah.
And then you got on a lot. Yeah, I mean.
I did okay. You get hired for four episodes. You get
hired
four
episodes.
Four, that's
oh,
it.
And not a season.
Not a season. They
four.
Just the all you're guaranteed is four episodes.
Wow.
And they hired me, this girl Catherine, and then Bobby Lee. We all got hired
sure.
together. Yeah, yeah.
You still keep in touch with Bobby? You know?
Yeah, I see him from time to time.
You know, I opened for him for 3 years.
No, like, no way. Was, yeah, he's crazy.
Were you there? Were you
he's
there?
He's wonderful. Like yeah. I only have positive so. Interactions with him, but he's. He's great. I remember, like, a lot of our auditioning was together. Like, he and I tested together, and then we went. Fox had, like, an Aliens vs. Predators arcade machine in the building.
Yeah. Oh,
so after
he
our final test,
games.
We did that and yeah. played that together. We got along. And then I see him, like, 2 weeks later, and he's like, I was like, did you get it? He's like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally did.
That's so good.
Have you used it to get laid?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what he's like, yeah, 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 yeah. Have you used it to get late? Yeah, and I was like, no, I'm just excited I got it. He's like, yeah, three times. I've used it three times. We had not started work. He used it three times to get laid. Wow. Just that he'd booked the job.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to start telling girls I got booked on SNL.
That's so good.
Just tell
why?
Them.
Wait, so why were you there when he shit his pants live?
No.
But you know about that story.
Yeah, I do know yeah. about that. Yeah,
yeah, that was when he was playing Connie Chung. Yeah. And he shit his pants.
He was so nervous because he'd just gotten sober.
Yeah.
And he was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It well, like, in those first four, it was like 13 episodes or something like that, and they overlapped the three new people. So, right. like, Catherine did four, and then she and I overlapped for an episode, and then I did four, and me and Bobby overlapped for an episode.
Gotcha.
And then we all got picked up for the back nine. That's what they
so, did. After you did, at what point were you like, all right, I need to now get some training and
yeah,
some shit?
Like, almost immediately. Yeah. Almost immediately. By the end of the season, Michael McDonald, who
yep.
was in the heat with us,
yeah, yeah.
Was, you know, he was the guy.
One of the best.
In that, you know, he, yeah.
Got
yeah.
to Stewart.
I got to meet Stewart. It was yeah. so exciting. And he, you know, he controlled a lot of his material, and a big sign of kind of making it, at least that I felt, was him writing me into sketches by the end of my time there, you know.
That's awesome.
He would put me in stuff, and
That's
that
awesome.
Was a big validator just,
totally.
Just for myself. So
that, I would imagine that's always a compliment, whether you be on Mad TV or SNL, when got because like it's so hard and so intimidating to break into.
Absolutely.
That when you got sort of the top guy saying, no, I want to work with this dude, you're like,
yeah,
me?
It's the best. It's
yeah,
the
because
best
there's
feeling,
not a lot
sure.
of validating things in both stand-up and
no.
sketch. Like, we're just doing it night in and night out, and like, you
yeah.
know, whether you get into a festival or you get named like on some fucking magazine, like, watch this guy for the next year, like, it's
yeah,
those
yeah,
are the
yeah.
mini victories. So it's like those things really
matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now being a part of the Groundlings is bananas to me because,
yeah.
And to not only like become a prominent member of that company, but like, I mean, let's just, I'll try to name as many as I can. Phil
okay.
Hartman, Kristen Wiig, Will Ferrell,
Will Ferrell,
Melissa McCarthy, Michael McDonald, Chris Kattan,
Sherry O'Terry,
Jesus,
Lorraine
yeah. Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know all that going in, yeah? Is that like, obviously,
yeah,
I feel like they do a good
so,
job promoting that.
So where it came from, Michael McDonald and Mike Hitchcock,
oh, yeah,
who
dude,
is the
genius.
Best. Yeah, brilliant Groundlings alum. He plays, I forget the character's name, but the one who's obsessed with Corky in Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, I was just watching it yesterday,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Corky!
Yeah, with
yeah.
Parker Posey. Yeah,
God,
yeah.
I wish I could be in the show.
Yeah, yeah. Get the bumblebee!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the best. Yeah, don't you look at those stupid dogs. You look at me!
Oh, wait, are you talking about Waiting for Guffman? Oh, okay,
Waiting
yeah,
for Guffman,
yeah,
but yeah, the bumblebee yeah, is best
yeah.
in show. He was a writer on Mad TV the year I was there and really... looked out for me, like really kind of
fuck, that's awesome.
Took care of me. Yeah, such a, it was a close friend very quickly. And so all these people that I respect had come from Groundlings.
Right.
And then my best friend had already started, Mikey Day, who was just hired as a writer.
Yeah, I was
on
just
going
to say, man, how pumped are you about that?
It will change the game for me. You know what I mean? Just in experience. You know,
sure,
because
you have a guy. Yeah, you have a guy looking out for you. You have a guy who you already get along
that
with.
That you
exactly.
know your sensibilities are so
sure. exactly right. Well, yeah, there's a shorthand, and to have somebody that you feel comfortable saying no, that's stupid too, is huge
mm-hmm.
because you get there and you're so grateful and you're so intimidated and
you know, so many writing sessions are really a compromise, you know what I mean? And trying to navigate
at SNL,
socially.
Is what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, at SNL. And I don't want to step on this person's toes and I want to hear them, but mm-hmm. I also want, you know,
you
to
get,
speak
yeah,
my voice
yeah,
as
you
well.
Want, yeah, you want to get your stuff in the
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
Is he now? I guess we're here, but I mean, the SNL sure. writing room, I mean, is it as
yeah.
chaotic and nutty as you just hear about? And like that whole pitch, right, on Monday,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah, 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 yeah.
Maybe break that down for us.
Okay, sure. Yeah. yeah. Monday, we gather usually around 4, 5, 6 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go in for pitch, which is whoever the host is that week is in Lauren's office on the 17th floor.
Right.
And
are there candles laid out?
No candles.
All right. Well, something to think
jar
about for next
or otherwise.
Season.
And maybe that's why it's so yeah. intimidating.
Apparently, real successful people have giant aquariums, not jar candles. Have giant aquariums and awards, like legitimate
we'll be,
awards.
We'll be right back with more. Taryn makes Adam feel like shit in his own apartment
I do
in
see,
just a moment.
You won the Angel Star trophy. You have an Angel Star trophy.
You know what that is, man?
Lauren has Emmys and Peabody's, and yeah. you have an Angel Star trophy
you know
from 2013.
I might as well have my fucking second grade biggest pumpkin award, where I had the biggest pumpkin, which is fucking stupid because my mom just found it at the Albertsons parking lot.
That's just, oh, I thought you grew it yourself.
No,
I'm like,
no,
well,
no.
There's a little.
No. What about
it's
you?
Just willingness to
you know
spend
what I like
time
to spend
searching
for the big pumpkin.
Biggest pumpkin.
I'm the Charlie Brown of fat kids, and I love, by the way, that you thought that I had it in me to grow a pumpkin.
I was like,
we're getting to know
I
each
really,
other.
I respect him even more because he won't take any credit for you know tilling the soil and making sure sunlight application is varied
wow.
in the proportions.
Sunlight application. They're playing at the Troubadour you know? Next Friday.
They are. Yeah. Great band.
But you're like, oh, you know, what did I win for a big pumpkin award? It's just the earth took care of that. That's just the
He's
earth.
He's so humble,
out.
Adam. Right?
I was like, no, give yourself a little credit. But no, you deserve so much less
no,
credit.
I was like, Mom, that
not,
one. Yeah.
Not your wallet, not your car, not. It
not
was your
eyes.
Eyesight. No, it was. Did she find or did she?
It might have been a collaborative effort.
Okay. All right, but not 100% your
in
sight.
In all honesty, I might have thought it was some sort of like, I don't know, giant macaroon. I was really fat, and I love macaroons.
It was delicious.
Who doesn't?
Macaron or macaroon? Because a macaron might actually be like orange. Those are the little sandwiches that
yeah.
come in different colors.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you're going way above my level now.
Sorry. Hey, you're the dummies with jar candles. Don't turn this on me.
All right, so one of you guys will meet, and it's just pitch fucking. It's
so
pitch
you go
fest.
In and you pitch one to two ideas.
That's
and,
it.
And when you start, yeah, it's literally like whoever. Gandhi is hosting SNL, so
okay.
Lauren goes, ladies and gentlemen,
hey,
this
don't
is,
lie about
this
that,
is Gandhi.
Because I will start a Facebook fan page to get that shit going.
Start a petition.
All right, so Lauren, yeah, Lauren
so goes, yeah, and he'll be like, all right, Fred, I'll start with you. And Fred will be like, hey, so. You know how it's a big deal, you know, leather workers, their hands are always really sore. So maybe like you're a leather worker who makes leather gloves, but you can't put them on because your hands are so sore from making the gloves. You know, whatever
yeah.
kind of idea. Mm-hmm. Fred is so much better at pitching than that.
He's Fred Armisen.
Yeah. I am misrepresenting.
Well, let's
him
change it. Let's
poorly.
Say that was Fred Rogers. That was Mr. Rogers.
Fred Rogers.
Who came in for 1 week to write.
Didn't do that well.
One of my favorite pitches ever was by a writer, Rob Klein. It just stuck in my head. It was so brilliant. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Rob always starts his pitches with, hey. So he went, hey. maybe you're bit by a Spider-Man man. You're bit by Spider-Man, so you become a Spider-Man man. I've already fucked up his pitch.
No,
Jesus Christ.
I'm on board.
You're bit by Spider-Man, so you become a Spider-Man man. You have half the powers of Spider-Man. That was the pitch.
To who?
I forgot.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah. No, like Josh Brolin or something.
Okay,
like
amazing.
Yeah, so they're, I mean, they're just short. The purpose, I think, of pitch, the most successful pitches just make the room laugh. So you're just trying mm-hmm. to, you know, it's stretching.
Those
basically.
Usually the ones that get an okay to be written up for.
No. Little of what is pitched in that room is written.
Wow.
People almost always pitch things they have no intention of writing. You're just trying to get a laugh from the room to kind of make the host feel that they're a part of the process because they mm-hmm. will be. They're such
gotcha.
A huge part.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And they get to see your face and they get to hear a little bit of your voice and they, you know, it's an icebreaker.
Right.
Do you ever have hosts that, I mean, they come in, you pitch an idea and they just like look at the room and go, well, that's dumb.
Yes.
Like, really?
Oh, yeah.
And people that really have no business judging comedy?
almost usually that kind.
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you just sit there and not just want to?
Well, they're a guest in your home.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean,
just say.
So it's
a great way to look at it.
And that's sort of.
It's like when you came in and you started making fun of my candy choices.
Right.
I didn't fucking
put up with
it. I grit my teeth and I said, well, I got a shitty Olive Garden story that's going to keep you here for a little while.
So passive. Yeah. Passive aggressive podcast.
Passive
new
Adam.
Title.
Yeah.
There you
passive
go.
Adam. Done. Let's write that up. Now, if I were to pitch Passive Adam as a sketch, give me a second.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And so you're just pitching your ideas, getting a feel for the room.
Right.
But you say nothing at that moment says write that up. Or
No. Kevin Miller, one of our producers, I think, mm-hmm. writes stuff down in case the host does go, hey, that person said that thing about a lamp store.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have an idea for that so that they can go back and be like, hey, Taryn, were you serious about that lamp store? And at that point, you go, absolutely.
Of course, yeah.
Because you want to be in the show.
I have pages of notes on lamp store.
And then you just fucking go back to your writing room. And
yeah, yeah, yeah. So then some people start writing a little bit Monday. If you have a team or a collaborator that you work with, normally they'll get together Monday to sort of get ahead of the game for Tuesday. Because mm-hmm. Tuesday is basically 2 or 3 in the afternoon. If you're a cast member, normally till about 5 or 6 in the morning. If you're a writer, a lot of them don't go home till after the table read on Wednesday, which ends at 9 p.m.
Holy shit.
So they're there for over 24 hours.
Because on Wednesday, you're getting shit pretty much locked.
Well, so what happens is over the course of later Monday night and all of Tuesday night, about 40 sketches are written.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're put together, and we do a table read in the conference room, the writer's room there. And we read through all of them. We have an intermission to go potty and have snacks. And then after all 40 are read, Lorne goes back with the higher ups, and they kind of say these are the ones we're thinking about, and they'll narrow it down from 40 to maybe 15 or 16.
Shit.
And then they'll bring the host in. They'll be like, "This is what we're thinking." The host can kind of be like, "Oh, I really like that one," and some they'll move that.
Are you
over,
sitting there watching that, or are you?
No,
here?
No. So the show is decided, the order is decided, and it turns out to be about anywhere from 11 to 13, 14 sketches out of 40.
Jesus.
Wow. And
wow.
One sketch that you did that was really popular was the Mokiki. Swooshy swish?
Yeah, sloppy swish.
Sloppy swish.
Yeah.
But that is a field piece. And so when do you, because you're the host that week, and Anne Hathaway,
yeah.
she was in it. So mm-hmm. when does that get shot?
Right. So, well, all pre-tapes are mm-hmm. shot mostly on Friday.
Wow.
Friday, starting in the morning, because often we'll have two pre-tapes a week. We'll have a commercial parody and mm-hmm. then some kind of premise-y digital short, although they're not anymore, because I think that was
Andy
sort of
left
laid to rest with those guys, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff, that pre-tape stuff, has kind of been the Wild West a little bit in terms of those are always almost impossible to pitch, to read at a table.
Sure.
Because Lorne reads all the action. Of all 40 sketches, Lorne reads all the action.
Wow.
So it
has
just
since,
like,
the be- has since
know,
the beginning, huh?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So it's just
Yeah, because
Andy and Chris go into a movie theater. They hold up Twizzlers. They call them Crazy Delicious. They go and sit in the theater. They rap about how lazy this Sunday is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you won't get any
sure.
laughs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that, they just went out and shot themselves. And with Mokiki.
Yeah, how do you pitch that?
My buddies, Matt and Oz, who are have come on as the new digital directors, we just went out and we just shot stuff. And so we kind of made a pitch tape that the week of Louis C.K., which was before Anne Hathaway, mm-hmm. put that they aired that to the Dress, because we do two shows on Saturday. We do an 8 o'clock Dress and then an 11:30.
And so
the real
much,
show.
Yeah, and so much changes, right? Like that, people, I think that's
two,
one thing. That,
three to four sketches get cut between Dress rehearsal and air, but they're both.
But nothing
performed.
Gets added that you haven't done before.
If it's a pre-tape, maybe, and there's a weird thing on time or something like that. So they aired Mokiki the Louis C.K. week, and it got a pretty good reaction because mm-hmm. what was that?
And by the way, if you're listening and you don't know what we're talking about, YouTube the Mokiki.
Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous thing.
It's absurd. It's just the concept of dance crazes is really funny to me.
Right.
Do you think that got
think
you?
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
No. Got me.
A decent amount of more, oh, who the fuck is this guy on the show?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Just the popularity of it, or do you think you were?
Well, like the popularity, I think, is a little subjective. It was certainly no home run, like a Dick in the Box or Lazy Sunday. Sure. You know what I mean? Like you can see on the show when something becomes like you can tell the Californians would be coming back. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the first time. But there's like a niche, like for my odd little weird absurdist stuff that I like to do. There's a niche of people that really respond to it, and I'm appreciative of that. But
one of my favorite sketches that you did was with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the Hypnotized.
Oh yeah.
Yo,
yeah,
like one of the funniest sketches I've ever seen on the show.
Oh, thanks,
you
man.
You kill it because it's so. First of all, it's such a great. Backdrop for something that everyone's either seen or been to.
Yeah.
So it's already so relatable,
which
I feel like is great when you can have that sense of the sketch. Like you're like, oh shit, this situation is something I can kind of, you know, put myself in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like the face you make with that fucking mustache when you're like, not. So basically in the sketch, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like hypnotizing Taryn, and then, you know, every time he turns around, you're basically just like lip syncing, like, I'm not actually fucking, no, this is totally bullshit. I'm completely
I remember that sketch.
I'm completely aware.
Yeah.
And the face is so, because you look like such a guy that would be picked, first of all.
Totally.
And
yeah.
Such a cheese dick about it.
Oh my God. Who's just going to take the moment to make it about him?
But totally not him. But this is what you do great with your characters, too, which I feel like is your longevity for SNL and really becoming a prominent member is that your characters, that guy was. You made him bigger for the sake of, you know, sketch and being on live TV, but you're still so grounded with your shit.
Oh, thanks,
which
man.
Makes it I feel like I was watching a real dude, you know.
Cool.
But obviously you were, you know, he was heightened for the purpose of the sketch, and then the shirt off him, and then you're humping Keenan in the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, at what point have you always been that fearless? Like Will Ferrell, I see, and I'm like, you know, from the get go, I feel like that guy was like, I'll take my clothes off or whatever. I'll do what
I mean, you know. Everybody's self-conscious, of course, but I feel like if you're doing comedy and
you gotta go
have
for
anything about yourself that's off limits, you're just doing yourself a disservice. So
that's a great fucking
You know what I mean?
That's actually on the back of that candle, by the way.
Oh my god!
And that's why I bought it. They're inspirational jar candles.
I'll get one of these.
That was like a David Blaine moment.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know that thing you just said? It's on the back of the candle.
Is this your mantra?
It is. No, dog, no!
Oh, shit!
No way, dog!
Gary, did you get that, Gary? Dog.
Yeah. That's nice of you to say. Yeah, no, in terms of, anything that I won't do that, I have none of that. I have a lot of, I can't do that.
Sure.
I have a lot of, limitations, but for anything.
Speaking of mantras, you know, I mean, you're almost like the meatloaf of comedy.
I really am.
You know?
Almost?
He would do. Okay, you're the meatloaf of comedy.
Thank you.
He would do anything for comedy, but he won't do that.
Yeah.
He won't do that.
Well, I guess you're not the meatloaf of comedy because there's a lot of shit he won't do.
I'm the opposite. I'm the Tyler Durden of comedy.
Can I say it?
Comedy.
Can I say it? All right.
Say it. Just say it.
Right. Tyler Durden of comedy.
Now, has there been a host? First of all, hearing Taryn Killam.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that like?
Yeah. So
because everyone has pretended to hear their own name for that.
Right.
Even if you never want to be on the show.
Yeah. No, I remember it very clearly. Our first episode, Amy Poehler was the host, and you could not ask for a better person to host just because lovely in any situation, but now she knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
I mean, writing night, she came and hung out. Me and Paul Britton shared an office. Yep. She just came and hung out for 30 minutes.
Wow.
She's the greatest.
Doesn't have to do it, but then
doesn't
comes back.
Doesn't have to do it.
Because she knows the process.
Knows what's going on.
She knows how stressful it is.
So sensitive to it. And I'm in love with her. And in her monologue, they did a throw over to us. She's like, we have four new cast members.
Yeah.
And they did a shot of us waving. Hmm. So that was the first time we were seen on the show.
Jesus.
So in
Are you even cautious of that moment of what's the face? Almost your driver's license
totally.
Picture. You're like, this is going to be there forever.
Overthought it so much, and what aired was just pure. I can't believe I'm here. I just freaked out. I had funny faces to do. I'm gonna act a little aloof, I don't care. I'm gonna be picking my whatever.
It's not crazy to overthink that moment though, because
it's
your debut.
People are going to the way people judge see that one quick shot and go. I like that guy, or do I want to keep watching that guy?
Sure,
which is stupid for people to think, but
no, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's so true. No, and so I was just literally I'm here, dude.
Which is the most honest you could be. So I mean, that's clear. I gotta look up that moment now.
But we do even before the dress show, we do a run through for cameras mm-hmm. on Saturday. So the first time myself, Vanessa, Paul, and Jay got to see the montage was together. Mm-hmm. And I get along with all of them a ton. I love all – I think you just are inherently endeared to whoever you
come up with. Yeah. Well, and you have that experience together. You're like, we did it together.
Exactly.
It's like a fraternity.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. If I knew what a fraternity was. Did I not? Did I
bend over, bro.
Did I not explain my baseball tryout to you?
First of all, drink that gallon of milk in the fridge, then bend over, and I'm going to crinkle Doritos on your ass.
Oh, so they're murderers. Fraternities are murderers. Oh, gotcha. Okay, well, I know what fraternities are.
The line between
fraternities. What about Amanda Knox, huh? She's a big fraternity.
The line between fraternity hazing and serial killers is very thin.
So fine.
Dude,
this, very thin.
Yo, by the way, I was in a frat at USC, and just really quickly, but like I was the one, I was the funny guy in the house. So
and one day you get a call for this Olive Garden audition.
Hilarious. Hilarious. That's what you call a callback, people. But I was totally against the hazing. I would do stupid shit where like when they had kids lined up, and they would be like, you know, apparently this fucking David Rubin fucking was trying to talk to Rich's girlfriend Kelsey at the fucking Fight Out Exchange last week. Mm. And they'd be like, oh, what the fuck? Laying this guy, shave his legs.
Ugh.
I would walk up with a deer head that was sitting in the corner of the Brotherhood room, high as balls. And I'd be like, apparently some of you guys are talking shit about my fucking deer friend over here. That you could beat him with a staring, you could beat him in a staring contest. I go, so which one of you motherfuckers wants to step up and do it? And they would start laughing a little bit. They could tell I was joking, which is why I was still friends with a lot of those guys. Because I didn't actually fucking treat them like shit. So one of them would step up. And I'd be like, "What do you guys step up and do this for your chapter?" You know, and still kind of like, you know, encouraging that sort of stick together attitude. One of them steps up. I hold the deer head in front of his face, and he just stares right at it for about 25 seconds, and then he breaks. And I was like, "It's," and he was like, "Everyone was like, oh!" And I was like, "You can't beat a deer head. How are you going to beat in this fraternity?" We laughed about it afterwards, but like the
you shoved an antler up his butt afterwards.
At the end,
I mean that was well, I mean, that was what they were leading to.
But now he knows like what it's like to
stare at a deer, at a stuffed deer.
He's ever the antler up his ass. That would be the thing.
But so you have that moment in the very first show.
Don Pardo.
I'm
Don Pardo, the announcer.
Yeah, I'm particularly close to Vanessa. Vanessa and I are Vanessa Bayer. Yeah, mm-hmm. She and I are very, very close. And we just had that moment where we were standing next to each other watching it. And just, you know, it says, featuring Vanessa Bayer, mm-hmm. you know, and then it gets to me. And we just turn to each other with tears in our eyes. Like,
I was going to say,
can you believe this?
I'm getting choked
up
just hearing you talk about it.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. And you're just in the space, you know. I've been very lucky. I got to go to a show years before I was hired. Mm-hmm. And I was at Andy and Bill's very first show.
Wow.
Like, I was there. They did like new guy impression off at Weekend Update.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
Andy Samberg and Bill Hader?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You got invited just to hang out at that show? Just
yeah. Well, I had the same management as Keenan,
cool.
So I said we were in town for upfronts or whatever.
You Nickelodeon guys stick together.
Yeah, exactly.
You stick together.
There's a whole Nickelodeon code that we adhere to.
Is there a Nickelodeon handshake?
Yeah.
And you say you don't know the whole frat
world. I can't
world.
Even acknowledge. The first rule about the Nickelodeon handshake is you don't acknowledge the Nickelodeon handshake.
I have to imagine it's something.
But
where,
it involves
like,
GAC.
Good pull, my friend.
Some sort of Rugrats reference.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
exactly, yeah, yeah.
Gack. Oh, my God.
Did you ever watch You Can't Do That on television?
I watched all of it. Do you understand, like, who I am?
The kids coming out of the lockers? Hey, Jesse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tony? Yeah, totally.
That show was genius. My mom wouldn't let me watch that show, and I would sneak up and watch it late at night.
Interesting. Oh, wow.
The kids getting slimed. The dad in that, like, family sketch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like the Homer Simpson Al Bundy before it happened.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean,
no, fuck. I know. The whole progression, that and then like 15 and Welcome Freshman and
My So-Called Life.
Freshman.
No,
that's MTV. Oh. No.
There was another high school type, 15 might have been. No, there's another Nickelodeon high school type show.
What changed the game Nickelodeon wise was Snick, you guys.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
Saturday Night Nick.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Roundhouse, Secret World of Alex Mack, all that.
Wow. Holy
all
fuck.
That.
All that.
That was a great show. Yeah, I mean, God, man. Why there isn't another kid sketch show for Nickelodeon?
Yeah, they did one on Cartoon Network recently, Incredible Crew. Nick Cannon did it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
So, like, you've done sort of like the Holy Trinity. You did.
I got them all.
Yeah,
you got them all.
I mean, I know you and Jeff Richards are the only people to do Mad and Saturday Night Live. But then I think, are you the only Holy Trinity guy?
Well, I was never a cast member on all that.
Okay.
I got to write one sketch because Dan Schneider was very good to me, and then I was in sketches,
mm-hmm.
but not as a cast member.
You just told me there's no Santa Claus.
There's no Holy Trinity. There's no one who's a cast. Well,
I thought you were the only one.
Yeah, because Keenan went and made that jump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm as close as it got, man.
Now,
right. Yeah.
I mean, I've also heard legendary stories about Saturday Night Live after parties in terms of like, I can imagine you go through all that stress that week,
yeah.
staying up literally, 48 hours in one area,
mm-hmm.
and then I can imagine the after parties, just that release is insane.
I heard Andy Lennox and David Spade scissored outside of a Quiznos. Can you confirm or deny that?
No.
It was a Subway.
By the way,
I can't because I am not a toasted sub guy.
By the way,
I like to eat fresh for $5. Thank you very much. Yeah.
By the way, that's all Extra does, by the way.
If you ever talk about the...
Well, they have a section on their show called
confirm or deny
Rumor Control, where they make up
funny.
Shit that's not true. And then they're like, was Forrest Gump star Tom Hanks seen shooting lines of Tylenol PM at a Chuck E. Cheese this weekend? You're like, no. It's like, well, our Extra Rumor Control got to the bottom of this and found out that no, he was not.
God, that's yeah, it's like the biggest letdown. Like, that's the easiest segment in the world to write.
It's just soulless, that stuff, isn't it?
But we love it. I mean, and everybody buys into it a little bit.
Sure.
Which is why, like, I've been at newsstands where I see ridiculous headlines on an Inquirer, and I know it's full of shit.
Yeah,
like you know, Denzel Washington hospitalized after eating Fig Newton that turned out to be a fucking child, and you're like, oh God, I hope he's okay.
That's a delicious child.
That's a delicious child, a Fig Newton baby. But anyway,
did you just go into Austin Powers? Fig Newton baby.
You know what? I'll take that, but I think I say
you
whenever
just
I talk
a
about
Fig Newton,
how great! Well, actually, I don't know if you would have lost respect for me in that moment, or again, be like, "Wow, is your Borat coming up next?" How many old impressions
from
the 90s?
At this point, like Austin Powers is kind of like
retro.
Hip again. It's retro.
Yeah,
I think enough time has passed.
I think so. I think you could.
Comes
I think
around
we should
full
throw
circle.
Out "Yeah, baby" more often.
If I was like, "Yeah, they're not enough "Yeah, babies." You know what? Let's start doing that.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
I feel this is something that happens every 5 to 6 years on Saturday Night Live. Is some people leave and everyone goes, oh, the show is going to suck now
because
all these guys left. But then Saturday Night Live, the reason why it's been on for 30 plus years is because they always reload. They find talent. Lorne, for all the crazy stories you hear, there's a reason why that show has been on as long as it is.
Absolutely.
Because Lorne's a damn genius.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah, and I mean, I always get excited when the new cast is coming in because there's probably going to be some new impressions. There's going to be some new points of view, new sketches. And you as a cast member is going to be like, all right, new people to work with.
100%. Yeah, mm-hmm. I am familiar with a couple of people who've been hired, so... excited. Beck and Kyle. I've been a good Neighbor fan for a long time.
That's awesome.
So I'm genuinely
excited. Numerous plays at SC with Beck, and then just knowing Kyle because they were 2 years below me.
Good Both fun. Trojans.
Trojans. I know it.
I got one brewing in.
Goodbye, Son. The Going Away to College.
It's maybe one of my favorites.
It's one of my favorite internet videos of all time.
I love that you say that. I show people stuff about Beck. That's why I show.
Yeah. Maybe we can go and get a couple of prostitutes like we always talked about. Yeah. What about Mom? I didn't want to tell you that.
So she passed away in her sleep last night.
She's right there.
She's right there. Oh, God. His reaction when he sees her.
So good. So good.
And then Kyle's, my roommate. Gay is my roommate. Gay.
Well,
all his interview stuff.
I had never seen, only in the last week have my friend showed me. I was a fan of the Good Neighbor sketches.
Yeah.
I knew those.
You hadn't seen them solo.
I hadn't seen Kyle's
interview stuff.
Man on the street interview stuff.
That's now.
And for the last week, I've been quoting that. Now that doesn't seem to be the fair play at this point. doesn't seem to be the fair play at this point.
Right. And sometimes people go,
hey, man,
what? And then
so
a lot of times they go, well, they kind of make out what he says and they respond
and they
based on that.
It. So good.
Now, how do you think that's going to be in court? Or is that too early?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
What's the whole season going to be like? has there been a favorite host of yours up until this point or somebody that you didn't know was going to be on, and like, because I'm sure you have dream musical guests. Like when you first got there, you're probably like, I hope we get Hootie. I hope we get, you know, I hope we get Savage,
Spin Doctors. Yeah, I mean, pretty much the Who's Who.
Mayim Bialik.
You're putting me in a tough place, okay. But I won't say that none of those people will be on this season.
Oh.
No, wait, sorry. I will say that none of those people will be on this season. That's what I meant.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, man,
Jesus.
I'm so bad at phrasing, you guys.
You will not be writing for Extras Rumor Control anytime soon.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, but was there anybody that you just
well,
shit
like,
your pants
when I
with?
When I got hired, in terms of host, Jim Carrey was my guy.
Me too.
Is my guy. You know what I mean? Like, Jim Carrey is the guy.
What was the thing Ace Ventura did it for you or what? In Living Color.
In Living Color. Yeah, yeah. In Living Color. I was so into In Living Color and Once Bitten that I went
back
and found Rubberface, which was like his first Canadian movie that he did.
Yes.
I was so good. Upset. I remember after Batman Forever came out, that Halloween,
well,
was
incredible
like,
in,
I was like,
way.
Oh, well, my costume's taken care of. I got my hair cut in a flat top. Like, I had them cut my hair into the flat top.
Wow.
And a guy at school came up to me like at recess and was like, hey, did you cut your hair to look like Jim Carrey in Batman? I was like, yes. And he's like, okay. And I watch him walk across like the playground to a group of guys, whisper to them, and all of them start laughing.
Wow. You're never going to forget. See that moment and Taron Killam. Like, you're never going to forget
those two. Both of them. So,
And I love that you probably said it with such like, yes,
so
I did.
Like,
how awesome am I?
Sorry you dummies didn't think of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Dummies. Yeah.
The double dummy.
He was the guy. So my first season he hosted and I got a sketch on. And it was like a physical thing that I got to do with him. And
with
it was
him?
Just,
what was that?
It was a Maryville animatronic ride. Which
With the guys that come in and
on the ride, they like get stuck on a ride, and then these animatronic guys are.
I think I do vaguely.
Most likely,
every time, every time they come up, it gets a little creepier.
Exactly.
And the girl's like, no, it's fine. They're having fun. No, I think they're really trying to kill us. Man.
Exactly right.
Are you out of your body at that point? Or are you just like,
so like? What happens is we come up and we do the animatronic thing. You know, like I was raised on Disney, so had an annual passport holder for most of my life. So I'm doing a physical bit with Jim Carrey and when we're doing the sketch, we come up and we do it and it gets a great reaction, like the best reaction that I've had on with anything I've done on the show at that point. And then we lower back down behind the wall. And the truth of the moment is I'm doing a physical bit with Jim Carrey. People love it. And then now I'm kneeling behind this plywood wall next to Jim Carrey and Bill Hader to my right.
Right,
like, it's
you can't not step out of yourself for a minute.
It was insane.
Right?
It was an insane.
I mean, as much as you're like, I got to be locked in and like this.
What do you shoot? Like, what do you shoot for? You know what I mean? That's like my struggle now. Is for so long, like after Mad TV, I would say before Mad TV, being on SNL was not even conceivable.
Just wasn't even a thought in your head. Like, no way could I ever do that.
No.
Yeah.
Some would call it inconceivable. You know?
Now, I hate to go all Katie Couric on you, but
why?
Because
I was like a theater kid, right? So I thought like, oh, I will someday be in movies or on TV. But I wasn't – I've never strictly been all about comedy. I've always loved comedy, but it's never been
– You just want to be an actor.
I just want to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And Mad TV thrust me into this world
Holy
of comedy.
Shit,
you know? And then it became a very real possibility. So I spent, you know
– You put in the work.
9 years
dude.
Making that the goal, and it happened. And that's insane.
9 years at Groundlings, right? I mean, like...
Like seven years at the Groundlings Theater before I was in the main company.
Classes every day. And then once you're in the company, it's classes and shows every
night. Yeah, well, it's like the Sunday company is intense because Sunday company is as close to the process of SNL.
That's where people get plucked from, right? Yeah.
Well, you're writing new material every day, like every week. You're putting it up Wednesday, and you're putting up a new show on Sunday. So
that's why people want to get to that main company so bad, because it is the most closest training.
I think that's the truth that people don't realize. I think people go to the Groundlings Theater because they see the end game for the most part.
Yeah,
I think people want to get rich quick, and they see like, oh, that's where they got signed.
Yep.
But what you realize on the other end is, oh, I'm so grateful I went to this place because now I'm so much more prepared.
Shit, dude.
Than anyone
for that kind of schedule.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's just tough. Yeah.
Okay, so Jim Carrey.
Like I overshoot the mark. Like I get the job.
Yeah.
Like done. Like I remember when I got the audition. I was like,
yeah, let's,
no matter what happens,
I auditioned for SNL.
I auditioned.
They thought
I was
worthy
stage.
Enough. Yeah,
they picked me.
I stand there, wherever where everyone has
There's
stood.
A lot to that's be it. Said about even yeah. getting picked to that's to all. Maybe beyond.
That's all. That's everything. And the first audition was just a party. Like they flew four of us out from the Sunday Company. I rented a limo. We drove in to the city. Like
keep
through,
it loose, man. You were like, balling
yeah,
it
through
up.
The Hall and Tunnel, like just like blaring Frank Sinatra.
I was gonna say Hall and Oates.
You know
but,
what
yeah.
I mean? It went Frank Sinatra into Jay-Z. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was a party.
What did you do
like,
in your audition?
I think I did like two original characters and nine impressions or something like that. And it was just like, who cares? What you know what I mean? Worst case scenario is I got to be here.
Of
Best
course,
case scenario is I'll be here and have my dream job. So then getting the job is like is just more than you can imagine. Like,
where were you when you got the phone call? Or were you?
I had flown back. I auditioned three times. I auditioned twice 1 year and then a third time the following year.
I hear rarely it's a fucking I saw you in a club. You're on process, right? It's most people go through kind of a.
I think it fluctuates. I think a lot of it is based on the needs of the show.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think when I first auditioned, it was Forte, Sudeikis, Bill, Andy, Bobby. Fred, you know, their need for a white guy.
Right.
Was
like, we got this.
Strong. Yeah. Like, it's taken care of.
Yeah, we got this.
So I think that's part of it. And I think this year, you know, there is such a hole left that's why probably, you know, I think there's four or five. I don't know what's official yet, but there's five new cast members. Or
yeah. And so what about like musical guests? Same type of
fanfare? I love all music. Like that's the truth of it. But like Coldplay, I would have put up there, and they were like they're my second season. And Arcade Fire is still the best performance I've seen in that space. They're phenomenal. Wow.
It's a small
so
space too. It's really kind of.
It is.
I mean, I've been
to
a few tapings, and it's first of all the energy on those tape nights. I can't imagine. Because, you know, I always, coming down here to go to school, that's all I wanted to do. And, like, I even talked to my acting teacher sophomore year. I was like, I want to, they want to drop out and just move out there and, like, just try to be around, be closer to the possibility
of it.
Oh,
wow.
So just being at those tapings, and my ex-girlfriend used to be a page at NBC, so she was, like, seater. She was also going to be Marcia Klein's assistant at one point, but she was, like, she was a news reporter. She wanted to, like, not be locked into that world. But she was, like, the seater and everything, so I'd go to tapings and some of the parties with her. And the energy, man, like, the beginning of the show, like, that's why I just feel like it's so, I can't imagine what it's like to hear your name called, but, like, even just the energy when, like, Sudeikis would come out and warm the crowd up, right, and somebody kind of do that, or Daryl Hammond did it once, and just the vibe in that room, man, because you know, seeing the pictures on the walls, like, the history of the whole show.
It's all around you.
You can't help, if you're a fan of that, to get, like, overwhelmed with emotion for just, like, I can't remember... Well, I went to the Eli Manning one. It was like a year, and I mean, just I don't know, man. It was it's bananas that for you to be on that after you know
and
your,
having
your journey
and,
to go
and having overcome the fact you went to UCLA, I don't think that gets talked about enough.
Yeah.
And that you fucking butchered that Burger King audition,
know.
You still
you're right, pretty lucky.
Yeah, Karen?
You should really be
proud.
Pretty lucky here. I guess you guys are right.
Oh shit!
I think this might be the actually
pretty undeserving. You guys,
we've
you guys
got a surprise
right.
for you.
What?
Burger King, come on out!
The king is here
with
the
90
king.
Whoppers, but you have to eat them all because you were
Hootie.
Never in a frat.
With Hootie. It did come true. I told you,
Taryn. It has been an honor and a privilege to have you on this
That's
podcast.
It. That's
and,
it, just like that.
Yeah, awesome. And,
I mean, we could wrap it up.
I guess. I mean, we've gone for like an hour 10, hour 15,
hour two.
Oh, hour two?
We have 8 minutes.
Can we? Yeah.
Of course.
Can we do like a few more minutes?
Yeah, of course.
And we could wrap it up. But
I feel bad that we have like.
Well, you know what?
Out your you started such a seamless, flattering, beautiful transition.
You did.
To wrap
but guess
it
what?
We just shot it
hey, but
down.
Guess what?
Nope. We want to keep partying.
Hey.
Fuck you, old dude.
Yeah.
Dude,
<that's>, you are that old guy that came in. All right. It's 11:45.
Hey, guys. You know, I don't know why I'm talking like Mo from fucking Simpsons. Hey, guys. Yeah. Just you know, it's getting kind of late.
Is that Mo from The Simpsons or Robin Williams' brother and Mrs. Doubtfire?
Harvey Firestein.
Wow, what a reference!
Mom, I told you, Mom, he's fine.
Right?
I'm so happy. Oh,
you're a beautiful woman.
Can you make me a woman?
I'm so happy. Shirley MacLaine, old or Bette Midler?
What does he say in Independence Day?
Like,
oh crap.
Ha ha ha.
If you're playing at home, that's so drink good. Four for the Harvey Fierstein Independence Day quote.
Pretty much that happens. But you know what? You know what we could do is there was a game we used to play out at the old location at the John Lovitz Comic Club that I don't think we've played since coming to this location that I think we could do. It's a game called Celebrity Serenades.
Okay.
And you do a lot of impressions. So basically we need you to pick anyone that you do an impression of, your favorite celebrity. And you're going to be at a bar, and we want you to, as that celebrity, pick up a woman.
Okay.
So
we have a little like background jazz music.
Yeah,
I'll play the woman.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So
we've done. You know, we had Jeff Ridge on. He did. You know, Letterman and
Dustin Hoffman.
And
amazing.
Yeah. So I think we had Ralph Garman, who's a DJ out here. He did like Adam West and Edwin.
Amazing.
So, and then I've done like Tony Danza, you know, picking up some women, which is kind of my forte. Angela and
so basically out of all your characters or out of all your celebrity impersonations that you do, who do you think is gonna be picking up women?
Your Brad Pitt cologne commercial, by the way, brilliant because
thanks,
that commercial was insane.
Yeah.
And it needed to be spoofed.
Yeah.
And you not only did you guys spoof it brilliantly, but your Brad Pitt is fucking like on point.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, that's Colin Jost wrote all those. It's very, very funny. Do you know Colin? He does stand up.
Name sounds really familiar. Okay.
You will. He's our head writer.
But there's so many impressions that you say Brad Pitt and you go, oh, he doesn't really do anything. You can't really do an impression of Brad Pitt. And then you see you do an impression, you're like, oh fuck, that's Brad Pitt.
Oh, thanks, man.
Like that's that guy. What's your process in terms of, do you try to get a little thing that they do, maybe like a little like voice tick, like
it
a facial thing?
It varies. I mean, that one came from just wanting to be him, just from like 7 Fight Club, 12 Monkeys. Like,
sure.
He's just the guy to be. And I think that one was sort of, so that one was like a little more of a study.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty good phonically. Like if I hear something, I can replicate it pretty easily, you know, after a couple of listens. But with him, it was the scene with Morgan Freeman at the bar when Morgan Freeman saying, you know,
seven,
I'm out.
Right?
And he goes, you know what? I don't think you're quitting because you believe that. I think you want to believe that because you're quitting. You want me to agree with you, say, yeah, it's fucked. It's all fucked up. We should all go fucking live in log cabins. But I don't agree with you. I do not. I can't. Thanks for the drink.
No, real quick, though, before you get out of here.
Yeah.
I've rented.
Around. I'll be around.
Is that Morgan Freeman?
No, I mean, no, it's not, but it's my attempt. Yeah, at the end. That is still, like, one of my top 10 movies easily. Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Holds up. Every time it's on, that's when I, like...
Holds up, and the last time I've truly ever, like, been legitimately terrified was when the dude pops up. When the dude's
the sloth guy.
Sloth is not dead. What the
fuck? Oh shit.
That got me. Like you do, I think it's you do like a Pee Wee Herman, you do Eminem. So who's gonna be picking up on the ladies
today?
I'm
gonna do Christoph Waltz.
That's incredible.
Wow.
But real quick, can I just get a little Pee Wee? Because that again, like I'm sure you grew up on that. Like that's
excuse me, I'm trying to use the phone.
Hey Dottie.
Brilliant.
Oh my god.
So this is gonna be Christoph Waltz picking up on a woman. All right.
This is great.
I'm gonna play the bartender.
By the way, my women
jazz.
Sound like Morgan Freeman. So
hello there.
Well, hello there, sweetheart.
Okay.
If he needs anything, where will you be? Around. I'll be around.
Why doesn't Morgan Freeman host?
So good. I would love it. He came, he did a What Up With That. He was there for What Up With
That's
That.
That's right.
But there's certain people who don't need it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, what has he got to gain at this point? He's like,
more fans.
God 7 times. What's my stint on SNL going to land?
Yeah, let me guess. They're going to put me in a dress.
They're going to put me in a dress. I wish I could tell you.
They're going to make a fool out of me.
They're going to have me eat oranges out of a wastebasket.
All right, here is the piano music. I'm going to play the bartender. We have Christoph Waltz picking up on a woman. So here we go.
No, Chrissy, I told you, I'm not going to be home till like 9:30.
Excuse me there, miss.
Can you see that I'm on the fucking phone?
I can see that, and while I know Doo-Doo Jump is very entertaining.
Doo-Doo Jump?
Yeah.
Sounds like something you pay a midget to do to you in Vegas. I'm sorry.
Funny story I'll tell you later. We do have a man over here who wants to buy you a drink.
Oh, big surprise. That's happening to me all the
time. Hello, greetings and salutations to you, young damsel. I was wondering if perhaps I could buy you a libation to whet your whistle, I think is what we say.
Oh, my God. Are you from, like, Australia? What's with that accent?
Very good, my lady. Actually, I am from a country very similar in phrasing to Australia, but I happen to be from a country called Austria.
Oh, that's kind of the same. You know what? I would love a drink, by the way.
What may I interest you in? Your taste buds? Perhaps a glass of milk or maybe even iced water. Don't you know hydration is so important these days?
Are you okay? You're like, your face is like contorting like in a really weird way.
I must admit that I have a joyful life. You see, I walk into this establishment because this is a gathering of different ideas and thoughts and philosophies of life, for which I am a huge fan. And so here I am looking across the bar. And what do I see? A beautiful lady, yes?
Oh, my God, thank you.
By yourself, I see, and I've checked the wedding finger.
You've been looking at my fingers?
I have.
That's super pervy.
I must cop to having investigated your marital status.
Well, I did just change it on Facebook, so you're good on that one.
Well,
are you on Facebook?
You know what? I have to admit, I am of the old world, and I still have a very active MySpace page.
Oh, my God. Dave!
Security, we have a guy with a MySpace page here.
So many things to promote! So many things to promote!
Get him out of here!
Oh, Terry Killen doing Christoph Waltz, yeah, everyone.
Yo, that's incredible.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks.
No, don't
win those guys. A little Bill Cosby there for a second, but...
You do a every lot of face contortions.
Every good impression goes a little Cosby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like when I would start to, like, when, you know, I do, like, a Regis, like, well, Kelly, you know, Kathy Lee never shows up on time because she's always eating pudding. It always, like, goes that way. Not intentionally.
How do you even... one of those characters where it's like, you said you're going to do Christoph Waltz. I'm like, can you do an impression of Christoph Waltz? And
that's
then you started going, and I saw lots of stuff from Django in there, but then definitely some stuff from Inglourious Basterds as well, which is weird because they're two completely different accents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was great, man. Thanks, and man. I wish that I hope that you've done that on SNL, right? You've done.
No, I haven't done
it. You haven't?
No, not
yet.
Oh,
my
not
God. Wow. Because your face, you sell that thing, dude. You sell it.
He's the best. He hosted. He was fantastic.
He's just like an sometimes great actors like that.
Yeah.
Don't always translate to being great hosts.
Sure, sure.
But he just his chops.
The
and
trick
his...
of it is, you know, you have a lot of potential SNL hosts that listen to this podcast, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great.
Absolutely. Wow. Can I be honest? Future... I thought you were about to say you have a lot of potential to be an SNL host.
No. Oh God, no.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Sure you do.
But
the one thing that the one piece of advice I would give to a host is just. Don't just be open. You know what I mean? Just don't say no to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll endear yourself to the cast,
be fearless.
To the writers. Just be game. Just be game because nobody on our end wants to embarrass you.
No.
Because we'll only embarrass ourselves.
Yeah,
like they're going to blame it on us anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you guys just want to look good, and in order to do that, you know, you have to make the host look good. So yeah,
exactly.
No one's out there to try to be like
Melissa McCarthy is
no
a great example of that.
She's the best. Well, I mean, Melissa brings her own material. Like Melissa writes half the show anyway.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Like, I think in the last two times she's hosted, she's brought two sketches that were hers from Groundlings. So
that's so great. Yeah. Timberlake, I mean, the coolest.
Timberlake's great. Timberlake, yeah, he's awesome.
People love him.
You know, like he's one who's open and game. And then, like, seeing him do dual duty, like, when he performs on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of...
right.
That must have been...
You know what I mean? You go from,
he's
like,
so
hey, that's a pretty funny guy. That's...
Yeah, yeah. He really is, man.
When he came, he performed Mirror, or Mirrors.
Yeah.
It's
a killer song.
Yeah, so I love that song.
Sorry to bring up mirrors again.
I couldn't help. Sorry.
Son of
this
a bitch!
Of the three things to promote,
you weren't cast.
Hollywood sex wars.
Hollywood sex wars.
Hollywood sex wars.
And mirror, mirror.
Mirror, mirror.
And the
mirrors.
Music video exactly. Mirrors, yeah, sorry. Which was all dwarves.
And my new mirror company.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
I know we've been talking a lot
about
that.
We got a lot of the print ads.
Terrence Mirrors.
We're able to get the licensing rights to mirror, mirror print ads.
Son of a bitch!
And our theme is Justin Timberlake's mirrors.
Now,
you gotta be kidding me!
No, and we had an opening party with the cast of Hollywood Sex Wars.
No fucking way!
I think I read about that on fuckbradwilliams.com/Taryn Killam. Now, real quickly,
great website.
Getting as your success continues to rise, which congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
Hearing your journey.
Thank you. It could go away tomorrow.
Of course. Of course. And that's the beauty of this business that you just, but you have a very solid attitude and appreciation for, and you've obviously busted your ass. So
thanks, man.
You don't get to those places by mistake.
Thanks.
And talent has a little bit of something to do with it.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I wish I could have done right there? Ripped my face off and been the casting director from that Burger King commercial.
And this has all been an audition. We saw something in you.
From the get-go.
But here is your crowd.
Here's a Whopper.
I still don't eat red meat.
But really quickly, athletes getting their own shoe, or like Jaleel White getting his own Urkel doll. Like what? For me, sometimes do you fantasize about like Timberlake opened a barbecue restaurant? Like
sure.
What like getting to that level where you would either open a restaurant or have your own cereal? What do you would you have you ever fantasized about?
One of those is coming true. I created a comic book. I wrote and created and wrote a comic book that's being published by IDW, and it comes out in December. And that's been...
What is that called?
The coolest. It's called The Illegitimates, and it's a super spy series.
Okay, I thought it was like a bunch of kids that like... Well, it's based on like by pro athletes.
It's yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just sad children.
It's actually
children,
another great idea for a
sad
show.
Sad children with incredible athletic ability. It's a James Bond-like super agent.
Awesome.
Is killed while he's on a mission. And their backup plan is that they've been the agency he works for has been anonymously supporting and nurturing the bastard children that he's sired with different femme fatales and female agents and stuff like that.
Oh wow!
So they bring together five of Jack Steele's bastard children to become a super spy team.
Holy shit!
That sounds fucking awesome.
It's really good.
I'm gonna go read that.
Oh good. Cool. Please. Yeah.
It's called The Illegitimates. Comes out in December.
Correct.
Okay.
So where can people get it?
Comic book stores. Any comic book store. It'll be in previews, which is like the catalog they order from in October, I think.
Wow.
So you can go to your local comic book dealer and request.
You're a big comic book guy.
I love them.
Love Marvel and all that stuff.
I love them.
Do you know I played Wolverine at Universal Studios?
Get out of here!
That was my day job.
He brings it up
again.
In front
of the Backdraft ride.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Awesome.
I mean, I've told many of these stories, and I mean, really quickly, like you know, I ran over. We would parade me, Storm, Spider-Man, Captain
and Lucille
America.
Ball.
Yeah. By the way, that's why it was always the craziest. I would tell people, all my buddies from school.
Why
were, like,
is Beetlejuice hanging out with Captain America?
Yeah,
dude, makes sense.
Yeah, did Shrek
put those claws away? Just kidding.
Did Shrek just give half his sandwich to Fievel? Like, yeah, dude, the craziest scenarios. But like, we would parade through the park, and one day, like, I ran over a kid's foot. On the ATVs, and didn't know what to say to him. So I just like, you know, I was like, do I say like, sorry about that, bub, or like, bad, or like, shit happens. I didn't say anything, so I just drove away. So I basically ran over a kid's foot, stared him down as Wolverine, and drove off.
Just like Wolverine would do.
Well, you assume he has healing powers of his own.
Hugh Jackman, I hope you're listening.
You're trying to make those character choices.
You know what I mean?
But dude, they were, so, and I, you know, last comic I bought was probably Ninja Turtle comic from back in the day, right? Not as fanatic as, but a lot of the guys that work there actually do are obsessed with these characters. They would come in. Guys had in mint condition comics, like in their sleeves, would come in and open me up to that world. And it really definitely made me appreciate it more. And I mean, I read some of these stories and like the artwork on them. There's a different sort of entertainment that you get from like reading those things.
Absolutely.
Like, what is it for you? Like, why are you so?
I think a big part of it is the role play. You know, you see yourself in a little bit of all the heroes.
Right.
Like when I'm in that mood, I'm this person. And,
right.
And I mean, Batman was such a big deal for me right away. Like Michael Keaton as Batman made me want. Like I think I'd started auditioning in commercials before, but once that came out, I was like, I can't really be Batman.
Right.
But if I pursue this career of performing and entertainment, I could maybe one day play a Batman type thing.
That's exactly why I was Wolverine. I was like, yeah. I can't be Hugh Jackman, right. but I can be the guy Hugh Jackman.
You want his lifestyle. Yeah.
We have you for Willow, and that's about it. Hey, that's all you got.
Every
buddy.
Park needs a Willow.
Or the chieftain. Forget the bird. Follow the river.
Wait, who was that? Was that the...
The Bones.
Oh, yeah.
That was Billy Barty. That was Billy Barty. Thank you for that. Yeah, I think it might be the first time we've acknowledged Billy Barty on this podcast. Shockingly.
You haven't talked about Masters of the Universe on this podcast?
No, we haven't.
But we have talked about Hoggle.
That's a key.
You also sound like Hoggle from Labyrinth.
Hoggle.
Yeah.
Kind of I know the way to the castle.
Yeah.
Follow me. Now, why I risk my neck for you, I have no idea.
Anyone born in 1978 to 1980 just went, oh, my favorites.
Brian and ready, Henson. And ready, and I'll be Jennifer Connelly responding to Hoggle saying that, well, I thought you knew where you were going. I thought you told me you knew the way around this labyrinth.
Those charms. Lovely, pretty things. Tell me, where did you get them?
Well, I bought them at a... At a Dave and Buster's. Well, I was at Dave and Buster's, and I was...
has been about last night.
I won 70 tickets on skee-ball.
Hosted by Adam Ray, who's never seen Labyrinth.
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
I was just trying to have fun. No, that's like... I'm Jim Henson Muppets. That's
your thing, yeah.
It might be the reason awesome. I am...
Yeah, you see the Muppet Show poster.
I do.
Right
do.
There, so...
And Hollywood.
And Hollywood. And
soon...
With a puppet in it. With a puppet and a Hollywood starlet dead on the bed.
That's my puppet, yeah.
Yeah.
Hollywood starlet dead on the bed. Hey, man, that's a porn star.
We actually had to kill her.
Because you guys are legit, and that's why I dig you.
You got a handle on the woodwinds.
Yeah, you got a handle on the woodwinds.
By the way,
brothers.
That might be the. Please tweet. Hashtag
handle on the woodwinds.
Where are you on at Twitter?
It's just Taryn Killam.
It's at Taryn Killam.
Okay. Spell that for our listeners.
T A R A N K I L L A M.
There you go. Taryn, and please.
Tarzan no Z.
Please tweet him handle on the woodwinds. Hashtag handle on the woodwinds.
Or, Burger King. Just hashtag Burger. Just tweet him Burger King. You know what would be great,
though? Tweet at Burger King. Say, why the fuck didn't you hire Taryn?
You know what's going to come full circle, though? You're going to, like, I'm telling you, like, your star is going to continue to rise. Yeah. You're going to end up being the fucking,
doing a promo for Burger King Japan. Because I'm a legitimate actor, and I'll only do ad campaigns in Japan.
One of those crazy Japanese, like, exactly. Oh, Japanese!
Burger King.
Burger King.
Burger King. What about you now?
God, boy, that was Tony Danza having a stroke while watching a constipated
Tony
man.
Tony Danza trying to pass a Whopper.
What about you now?
Through his kidney.
You do that amazing Japanese accent on the show. You do that Japanese game show.
Like
the white kids doing the Japanese.
Right.
So good, by the way.
Japanese wiggers.
Wow, they're also playing at the Troubadour.
Japanese
Wiggers.
What was the other one?
God,
we come up with so many of these. Right.
No, it was like, oh, it was Sunlight Application.
Wow,
dude. Hey, kids, take that as a lesson. You can
the
still smoke pot.
You get from USC.
And remember weird cover band names.
Sunlight this Application, Japanese Wiggers, a stork double bill.
That is, absolutely.
We'll all be there for that.
And maybe Passive Adam. I mean, that was thrown out there.
Passive Adam.
Which is the sequel
opening.
To
They're
Patch
the
Adams.
For them.
Yeah. Just because they sound alike.
Taryn Killam, once again. I will try to close it out again.
You know,
once again, it'll
actually,
be
no, I got ten more. I got 10 more questions.
I'm trying to run a legitimate podcast.
I got 10 more questions.
You assholes.
Brad, hold that thought.
Well, fuck you guys.
If you were a type of beef jerky, what would you be?
Fuck you.
Well, I have actually discovered a new brand recently that I'm really into.
You guys
no kidding.
Suck.
Divine Bovine. They have a line of
this
turkey jerky
idea.
That's just to die
they
for.
They have a caramelized jerky that
my
I just
podcast.
Said.
It just is that it just melts on the tongue.
It melts on the tongue. It melts in your mouth. Not to be confused with M&M's, which they do have an M&M jerky though that I do want to talk about in
SNL
just a second.
Again.
We'll be right back with more beef jerky. How much is that?
DVR.
With Taryn and Adam.
Just watch Last Call of Carson Daly. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
I'm all about Last Call now.
It's a great show.
Boy, that guy, he's sticking. Carson Daly. He just makes it happen.
Yo, how is he not?
We're gonna cut your studio. We're gonna cut your cameras. We're gonna cut your budget.
Oh, cool, man.
I'll still make a show.
Cool, man.
Still,
is public assets
really?
Still around?
Getting
still
back
going.
Down.
Really? Trying to close this out like 3 hours.
You know his favorite food?
What?
Carson Daly?
Yeah. Jerky.
Oh my God.
Ah, you think
what,
that's
man?
Gonna bring it around and this be good? Assholes.
All right. So you're on Twitter at Taryn Killam.
Yes.
You have what?
Oh, now you promote his Twitter.
No website.
A website.
No website.
They can just Google you.
At
this point, you're
NBC
just Googleable.
Uni. Go to NBCUni.com.
The new season of SNL starts.
September 28th.
Fuck yeah. When do you go back? Next week?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Okay. Exactly. I have a family, so.
Yeah, that's right.
As late as possible.
Congrats on the child, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. How old is she?
4.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's a daddy, too.
4 is a great age.
Mm-hmm.
I have twin nieces who are 4.
Oh, awesome.
And they're just now.
Oh, now you start with the little
Brad,
girl stories.
Hey, Brad.
You asshole.
We're talking about kids now. This can take 1 minute.
Fuck the kids.
By the way, that's what Brad said as he was getting escorted out of the Chuck E. Cheese because he was hogging up the ball pit. Fuck the kids.
Fuck the kids.
But real quickly, though, because I did have this on my line of questions.
Yeah.
How has having a kid shaped your comedy? Because for me,
it hasn't yet.
Has it shaped your life?
No, because I
we're out
like
of time,
to keep
Terry.
Her
thanks
different.
So much
oh, wait,
for coming.
But wait, wait,
no,
wait.
No, I keep that separate. I want her to have her own life. So
I dig that.
Yeah.
Now, but the family's out here, so that's why
they're here. Yeah. So I go back and forth a lot.
You named your daughter a beautiful, normal name. Like, do you ever get mad at yourself? Like, I'm a celebrity. My wife's a celebrity. Why the fuck didn't we do anything like crazy?
An object in the living room.
We will call our daughter Sofa.
Although,
shit, man, you might need to make another baby just to name it.
The Ia on Sophia has always annoyed me.
There you go. So,
I love that that's the story you would tell people when they're like, no, why Sofa? The Ia and Sophia just bothered the shit out of me.
Fucking just,
What are you trying to prove?
Yeah, just be Sofa.
You'd have to be some sort of like Chinese MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Sofa. In this corner.
In this
lima
corner.
Beans. I don't know, man. I don't watch MMA.
Fighting from the man, fighting from the great country of China. He is the mean one coming from Kmart. Sofa.
Wow.
I'm intimidated.
I would pay at least $13
pay per view. I'd pay $30 for a 2-hour chunk of television
to watch Sofa take down Jerky.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Sofa v. Jerky. Can we end this thing now? Seriously. All right.
Thank you for having me.
Dude, you're the best. Thank
Brad,
you so
I think
much.
I called you Brian earlier, and I felt bad about it.
It's okay.
But yeah, now you apologize. Hour 40
minutes
in. God 55
minutes. I've been trying to hear your questions and only feeling so conscious and beating myself up.
I kind of wish
saying the wrong
I kind
of
wish you had just called
host.
Him Brian the whole time, and we never corrected.
I wish you had corrected me, though. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
If you say the wrong name... Say hey, you're a dummy, and I'm gonna help you.
That's a social faux pas that a lot of people let go.
They let go.
I didn't hear it to be honest with you.
All right. Well, it didn't happen then.
Okay.
Well, people call you Toronto, sure, right?
Oh, all the time.
And you correct them?
It depends. It depends.
Now we're on names.
You know what?
Oh, the listeners are loving this shit.
It depends. Like if it's like a meeting, if they should know. I'll correct them if they're like calling out my order at some restaurant. I'm like, let them have it.
Yeah.
I don't need
Taron,
to like,
the
put
chimichanga
them in their
salad.
Excuse me, sir. It's pronounced Taron, and I spent a good $6.95 here, so I'd appreciate you pronouncing my name.
And by
correctly.
The way, you said there'd be bottomless breadsticks, and I've only seen one guy bring another tray over. So,
Taron, this has been
fun. Yes, Brad,
it's been awesome.
So fun.
Thank you for getting my name right.
You got it.
I do appreciate
Brad,
it.
Brad, Aaron, you're the best.
As long as you call me Aaron Brockovich.
Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah. As long as it's that Aaron.
Wait, are you not? All the female voices you've done.
I wish I could tell you I wasn't Aaron Brockovich. I wish I could tell you.
We had that water shipped in especially for you. I don't do movie quotes well, and I don't do pitches well. I fumble, stumble on it.
I think you've been just great.
But your Christoph Waltz is fucking ridiculous.
Very much.
The season premiere of SNL is September 26th.
8th.
September 28th.
Do you know
your comic book...
Do you know
no, we don't.
Yet?
No.
Okay, well, no. Stay tuned for the host. It's going to be awesome.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Mario Lopez.
No.
Fair enough.
Denied.
You know what? Part of me went in knowing that answer could have been what came out.
Yeah.
And, you know.
No, I'm not going to bullshit you.
No
happening.
Way. People would watch, though.
Oh, I would definitely watch. Listen, Preppy. I would have a talk show called Listen, Preppy.
That's why it has to happen. The sketches are
live from
themselves.
Live from Bayside.
September 28th, the season premiere of SNL. Get his comic book called The Illegitimates coming out in December. Terry Killen is a ridiculously talented individual
who is not worthy to be
on this podcast. But it's thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And it was fun. For Taron, for Adam Ray.
For Aaron Brockovich.
For Aaron Brockovich.
Please tweet me at
Brian Williams.
Brian Williams.
Wait a minute. That's a podcast that needs a fucking...
Aaron Brockovich and Williams.
Wait, but who are you?
Good evening.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm Ryan Williams. Thank you. And good night.
And I'm Tarzan.
Tarzan, Aaron Brockovich, and Brian Williams. I wish I could tell you I didn't get hard listening to that. I wish I could tell you.
Please continue to rate us on iTunes. Write good comments. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Follow Adam on Twitter at AdamRayComedy. Go to our websites, AdamRayTV.com and BradWilliamsComedy.com for all of our tour dates. Is that everything?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you, Taryn, for being here. Please try to remember our names in the morning. See ya.
That's what we say when we close it out.
Asshole!
'If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.